Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Pats win tonight?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I predicted them on game day morning.
Damien Harris to the house!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Bills can't run the ball.
And if it's 55 miles per hour
wins. The kick is lifted to the uprights and the kick.
Missed it!
He missed it off to the right. The win took effect.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Fox Sports college football analyst Joel Klatt. Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert. Still to come. Michigan Heisman Trophy finalist Aiden Hutchinson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Week 13 was placed in the books last night in a Monday night game that was just weird and wild from the start because of the weather. I mean, it was something we talked about in hour number one about it not really being football weather and how you really don't want to see big games affected by weather when it's for the ultimate game in the Super Bowl. But on a night like last night, it's exactly what you have to deal with is the elements. And the Patriots dealt with it better. They dealt with it better. They had a better game plan. They had a better plan, in place to run the ball. They had a better roster to run the ball, and they jammed it right down the throats of the Buffalo Bills. You know, and there's a lot of finger pointing going down in Western New York right now. All you got to do is just read a bunch of articles being written by Bills beat writers and those who have been focusing on the Buffalo Bills, where you know. They got an ornery coach up there in Sean McDermott. 7-5 is not the way they thought they would be going into week 14. Not at all. And it's kind of crazy. The up and down stuff that we saw early on this season, we were talking about, remember we were talking midway through October when the Steelers, before they went on their first upswing of the year, and they could be on their second one right now, and I hope for the Steelers fans that they are, where they were, we're like, how did the Steelers beat that team? Because the Bills turned it around. Well, we're seeing the inconsistent play. We're seeing some inconsistent play.
How much do you put on Josh Allen?
I mean, I don't know how, you know, it's his fault that there's no running game there. He didn't stop the defense. He didn't try to stop the run last night either.
And why didn't they have him run more? It seemed like that was their
that's
most
the thing too. And you
successful
know
play.
Correct. Or where's their jet sweep play? Where's their receiver coming around the end to mix it up,
right,
as the Patriots did on occasion?
I don't know who would even be that guy.
I mean, they don't have that guy?
It's not going to really be Cole Beasley or Emmanuel Sanders. It's like, who's their Deebo Samuel type,
I don't know.
You know,
wouldn't it be an interesting scenario for them to have that? I don't know. These are good questions. And right now, they're 7-5 looking up at the Patriots. Man, I know you called it. You said earlier this year that it's going to be Mac Jones, here we come, nice run. I think you were kind of trolling on a bunch of people August 31st here saying that Patriots are going to win it all. Because nobody in New England really thought that what we would be talking about right now entering week 14 was a 9-4 first place team.
Possibly have predicted Mac Jones was going to be, you know, this good. Or the running game was going to be
or
this
good. Or the defense. Or because there were so many different parts that were thrown together in the offseason.
It's so many guys coming back from sitting out last year. You had these free agent guys, a couple of rookies, Barmore on the front line. You didn't know how good they were going to be.
But I know what I saw on Halloween Day in SoFi. I saw it. I saw a team that had just put a 50-burger on the Jets coming out west. And I saw a team come out west, and I saw a team play terrific football. I saw them confuse our guest last hour when I asked Justin Herbert the best defense that he faced this year. The first one that came out of his mouth was New England. They give you multiple looks. They confuse you. They walk around. They do all sorts of stuff on defense that confuses anybody and makes you think and grind it out and not make the mistake.
And things they couldn't do even in the last couple of years of Brady, and especially last year, they can get to the quarterback. They can rush the passer, which they haven't been able to do in a while. You see that with Matt Judon, who should be a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. Not saying he's going to win, but just having that element of your defense. How many times did Josh Allen had to get out of the pocket and scramble?
And they're the most consistent team that we've seen in the last 2 months. Well, you know, when you win seven straight games, that's the way you're going to be referred to as consistent.
Right.
Ravens lose to the Dolphins and then need to pull something out of their, you know what, couple weeks ago for them to take over first place in the AFC entering this week against the Browns. And
also, though, if you look at the AFC, it's really beginning to feel like it's New England, Kansas City, and everybody else.
Well, Cincinnati's doing one thing 1 week, and then they don't do the next. The Chargers are that way, too. I mean, honestly, look at the Bengals. The Bengals crush the Ravens, lose to the Jets, get smoked by the Browns, go on a bye week, spank the Raiders in Las Vegas. I know that was a tight game for at times, but they were the clear better team that day. Then they go and sweep the Pittsburgh Steelers at home, put a 40-burger on them, and then turn around and have a 40-burger put on them by the Chargers, who had just the previous week struggled themselves against the Broncos after they beat the Steelers coming back after losing to the Vikings. I mean, the Bills are up and down all over the place. And then there's the Chiefs. There's the Chiefs. I don't know who said it. I think, was it Kevin Clark of the Ringer? I think he said something along the lines on Saturday after Alabama just beating Georgia, saying the way that everybody's talking about Alabama right now is exactly how we're going to be referring to the Chiefs in January.
Like, why were we ever doubting them in the first place?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's far off.
Yes, sir. Yeah. You know, because the Chiefs...
Well, a switch is flipped on their D.
Yep.
Where now suddenly they look like the 86 Bears.
The Chiefs, you know, didn't look like world beaters against the Giants, but they still did begin to tighten the belt on defense. You know, then they beat the Packers without Rodgers, with Jordan Love's family sitting in the last row of the stadium. Then they beat the Raiders, then they beat the Cowboys, and then they go on a bye and they come back and beat the Broncos. And I'll tell you what, the interesting thing is, I mentioned in the last seven games, only one of them being a loss to Tennessee, they've given up only 26 points after halftime. Do you know how many points the Patriots have given up after halftime in the last month?
I saw it. Was it
three?
Three, yeah.
Three.
I mean, that is stupid.
It's stupid. That is. But that's why the AFC is wide open, and that's why the Patriots are so dangerous, is because they're the last team you'd expect to be up and down, as long as they're healthy.
Right.
And as long as Mac Jones doesn't get somehow thrown off his tracks. And the only way he gets thrown off his tracks is if he sees something that he doesn't expect or he hasn't seen before, and the Patriots are making sure that's not possible by removing him from every facet of the game, with the exception of talking after a game, I guess, and talking once during the week, and then talking to no one else, including Peyton Manning, when he knocks on the door saying, "Hey, I wanna talk about the things that I wanna talk to you, so I can have some nuggets during the broadcast when I'm not talking to David Letterman or what have you."
Nope.
It's great to see David Letterman last night. Man, do I miss him?
Hey, you look good.
Do I miss him? And it kind of killed me. I'd explain to my son, you know, he's one of the greatest late night hosts of all time.
Well, he also looks like Santa Claus.
Well, then they showed a shot of him. They showed a shot of him with Belichick, and Cooper's like, "That's David Letterman," because he wouldn't have like that big white Santa beard.
Yeah.
You know. I haven't done this in a while because the fourth down of my four downs is always a hot take, and I was just struggling to come up with one that I believed in, and you guys have been counseling me. You don't have to believe in
you
your
don't
hot
have
take.
To, yeah.
Just be hot.
Hot.
But
no,
I've come up.
He's been counseling.
And so I haven't done this in like a month because there was a listener of our show was pointing out how all of my hot takes were wrong.
Well, you were kind of, you had like a Manning curse. You were like jinxing teams with your fourth
down. Well, because
down
I was coming up with like this team was not going to lose the rest of the year and
right,
stuff
only
like
one
that.
More
and,
loss.
And then they, would lose twice. But by the way, I chose the Chiefs of that and they went on a roll,
looks
right?
Okay.
Here's my four downs. It's back after a hiatus. We're back after a hiatus. But here we go. Go for it, Mike Del Tufo.
Four downs with Rich.
Here we go.
Why did he stop me?
First down.
Okay, everybody. Here's my first down. It is time for everybody to realize what is happening. And everybody knows what's happening. Everybody senses what's happening. Everybody can understand what is happening. And it is time to place aside the whole idea that this guy's already won enough of these and we already refer to him as the modern-day Lombardi. So we don't need to name him Coach of the Year because what's another one of those for him anyway? Well, it would be his fourth, and there's no reason why he should not be honored as such the Thursday of Super Bowl week at NFL Honors as Coach of the Year. Bill Belichick is the Coach of the Year. What he has done this year, after last year, after going on a spending spree in free agency that compared to their free agent spending ways in previous years can only be termed as a sailor drunk on shore leave. They went absolutely crazy. They got not one but two tight ends. They got not one but two wide receivers. They got Matthew Judon. They got a whole bunch of players and spent a whole bunch of money, which is not what consistently terrific championship caliber teams do. They don't go chasing players in free agency and hope it works in regular season play and then postseason play. That's like fantasy football stuff. The Patriots did it and the pieces have fit. I know, you know, we're still waiting to see, I guess, Aguilar catch fire. But that's not what they do. Certainly when you have a rookie quarterback that you're kind of making sure has easy throws to tight ends and has running backs to run the ball to take pressure off him. And then when he's asked to make plays, he can. And when he's asked to only throw three times, he can. And then you've got a defense that's playing lights out. And then you're also somebody that makes sure everybody is situationally brilliant. They never make a mistake. Nobody ever runs out of bounds when they shouldn't. That's why when N'Keal Harry goes after a fluttering ball in a 50-mile-an-hour wind and it hits him in the face mask and he hasn't really been back there all year long and you put him out there in a situation like last night, it's so shocking. It's so out of character that you're like, what's that all about? Where other teams, that's more often than not or the norm. And then you've got a guy who comes up with a big win last night, and they're already talking about, well, we're going to face him again in a couple of weeks, and they're already preparing for that. This was Bill Belichick, if you don't mind turning the music down for a bit, Mike. This is Belichick on the Greg Hill Show locally in Boston today. Go for it.
Bill, since the weather made it such a wild game, will you be able to take anything from that to use film-wise when you go to prepare for them at the end of the month?
Yeah, we were talking about that last night. We can use our whole passing game. all the pass plays that we have, they haven't seen, so we can use all of them next time we play them. That game plan has already been made.
Week 14 bye, sitting back on a bye week, already looking over the steering wheel, and I'm sure other coaching staffs do it, but this is just something he's been there and done that, and I've seen personally what this guy does using institutional knowledge from his decades at the craft, putting it into real-time practice, snap to snap, quarter to quarter, week to week. He's your Coach of the Year, and I don't think there should be any close second right now, to be very honest with you. Let's go to second down.
Second down.
That's second down right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Hey, everybody, I know that everybody thinks there's an East Coast bias in sports media. There's a Southeast bias when it comes to college football. And I know, you know, when it comes to New York City sports, there is not a lot of relevance going on. But everyone should just get ready right now for the NFL draft. There's going to be about a 45-minute to 50-minute long period on the first night of the draft, at the very top of the draft, where it's all going to be about New York sports. It's very top heavy. And I don't know if Joe Judge is going to be part of the staff to make the picks for the Giants. And we just, you know, Robert Saleh will be there making picks for the Jets. But right now, if you take a look at the standings in the NFL and you look at the draft order right now, it's 1-4 through 7 right now. It's Jets, Giants, Jets, Giants.
Wow.
4 and 5 is Jets, Giants are the picks that they've earned themselves being putrid. Wow. And then 6 and 7, it's the picks being earned because Seattle and Chicago are both 4 and 8. I mean, it's going to be a straight out, and it could flip around a little bit. Going into week 13, it was Jets, Jets, Giants, Giants.
Right.
So the Jets will be on the clock for 2 in a row, and then the Giants 2 in a row. But I don't know, whoever the Giants general manager is going to be, maybe, you know, he and Joe Douglas could have a back channel line. Like, do you want to swap here? You want a little fifth here, sixth there? You want to choose here, choose not? I mean, it's right now it's going to be New York sports. Like, honestly, they should probably, you know what they should do? If it happens like this, they should remove the draft hall and put it in the New York casino, right? For like 45 minutes and just.
That's pretty good.
You know?
That's pretty good.
That's what they should do. And have a Sinatra singer come out and sing New York, New York to entertain the crowd when Scott Hansen's not doing it, you know, in the draft hall.
Like Irv and Colleen Wolf.
Yeah, yeah. Just come out and do a little bit of a Rockette routine.
I love it.
All right, let's go to third down. I am sick and tired of seeing roughing the passer calls and unsportsmanlike conduct calls that are so horrible week in and week out. 15-yard penalties week in and week out that are positively dreadful. There was one on the Patriots last night as Josh Allen is leaping for the first down marker, and he's leaping out, you know, inbounds towards out of bounds, and a Patriot hit him as he was on the full white part.
He was in the air.
But he's in the air.
Right.
And it's like,
what's he supposed to do?
And so, you know, I guess you're supposed to know that it's wherever the ball crosses the line. He's reaching out as he's in the air. So if you're a defender, you're thinking, okay, he's trying to get a first down right here. I'm going to hit him out before he can reach across that pylon, even though he's already out of bounds.
Right.
But he's in the air, and he's also Josh Allen, and he's also trying to get yards, and I'm trying to hit him all night. Let's throw him for a flag. And then Bill Vinovich just calls it unsportsmanlike conduct, doesn't even describe why it is. It's so infuriating to fans. Here's what needs to be done. We've got to review every last one of them. And you can't say, well, we're going to stop the game for every 15-yard personal foul penalty. No. What we're going to do is throw the flag down. You get on your microphone and you talk to someone in New York. I'm calling a personal foul penalty. Go ahead and take a look at it right now. Somebody then gets that message and scrubs it back, and they make the decision while refs huddle up. Huddle up. Talk about it. Talk about it. Take 15 seconds, 20 seconds of my life. It's not going to be that big of a deal in the NFL. We see stoppages for far longer, for far less. Get these right. Scrub it back in the same way it happened last night where they ruled the punt muff on the face mask of N'Keal Harry initially to be just Patriots ball because it didn't touch him.
But
you know
Sky
what happened?
Sky
Judge came in.
Yeah.
Sky Judge came in. It wasn't a challenge by Sean McDermott. The Sky Judge came in after they were showing replay after replay that it did seem to graze his face mask. Same thing should happen for every 15-yarder. And by what I mean, every 15-yarder, including that off all these crack back blocks and all these blindside blocks that are called.
Roughing the passer ones where they barely touch the guy.
One of them, because they change everything. They change momentum. They change field position. Let's get it done. All right.
I agree with you.
Let's go for the fourth down.
Are we back? Fourth down, hot take back.
Fourth down.
TJ, come on, TJ.
Here we go.
We need a real.
Here we go.
A real hot take right now. Real one.
And I'm going back to the well about this team's not going to lose the rest of the season only once the rest of the season.
Please don't say Dallas.
The reason why many people are
not. Don't say New England.
Reason why many people are not buying the Arizona Cardinals, the reason why many people are not buying the Arizona Cardinals, as I mentioned at the top of yesterday's show, as one of the best teams in football because they're 10-2, and if they were the Bucs or the Packers, we'd be talking about them like they were the best thing since sliced bread and winning a Super Bowl. It's because everybody thinks the Packers and the Bucs are going to be red hot and win this thing anyway. the Packers and the Bucks are going to turn the heat up on that. Neither of them are going to lose the rest of the way.
Packers and
Bucks? Packers and Bucks win out.
Oh,
write this down. Neither of them lose the rest of the season. Here you go. Here you go. I'll back this play up right now. The Green Bay Packers first. The Green Bay Packers take on the Chicago Bears on Sunday night. They visit Baltimore. That could be a tough one, but I think they're going to come out with the dub before hosting Cleveland and Minnesota, finishing at Detroit. Then you take a look at the Buccaneers, the rest of their schedule. After they play the Buffalo Bills this week at home, they play the New Orleans Saints on Sunday Night Football, unless that thing gets flexed out. Okay. Then you've got a visit to Carolina and the Jets before they finish up against Carolina at home. That's the Bucs the rest of the way. Home for the Bills, home for the Saints, two against the Panthers and one at the Jets.
Bucs are going 14-3. I mean, come on.
All right. Both of them win out. And then we're going to start seeing if either one of them can leapfrog Arizona, and then we're like, that's a preview of everything.
I'm going to back your play, Rich. I'm going to bet this every week to see what happens.
Let's take a break. Aiden Hutchinson will be joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. I cannot wait to talk to this young man. Don't go anywhere. We are back with a Heisman Trophy finalist on the Rich Eisen Show in a moment.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
No idea what's coming.
I don't know, he might. He's going to need security.
Back here on the Rich
this.
Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. He is a leader in best, a victor, as they say in the fight song at Ann Arbor, Michigan. He's also a Heisman Trophy finalist, a Big Ten champion. He came back to school. He could have left to go into the pros, but he fractured his ankle last November, and he wanted to give one last go and make the most of it. He said that he would seal his legacy to win the Big Ten championship after beating Ohio State, and he has done all of that. Joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show from the Michigan Wolverines on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is Aiden Hutchinson. How are you, sir? You there, Aiden? How are you, Aiden?
I'm doing great, Rich. How you doing?
I'm doing better for talking to you, man. What is life like for you? Walk me through what it's like to be that big man on campus, Aiden.
Right now, life's a little bit crazy. I'm in Vegas right now at the Campbell Trophy Award, and then tomorrow got a 6 a.m. flight to Houston for the Lombardi Award, and then fly out Friday for the Heisman, and then fly out on Sunday for the Lott Trophy. So it's a big award week, and, just trucking through it right now.
All right, we got to eat right, though, right? None of this rubber chicken. You know what I mean?
We're eating good. We're eating great.
Okay, just want to make sure. Well, no chicken at all, right? That's the nervous bird, according to Coach Harbaugh. No chicken at all, right, Aiden? Zero chicken.
I actually love chicken, but, I guess, we see differently on that.
All right. Hey, look, to each their own. To what do you owe your 2021 season, Aiden? What do you owe to this ascendancy that you have developed right here?
Yeah, for you. I mean, this 21 season was just unprecedented. Something that nobody expected. Out of all of Coach Harbaugh's years, I think this was the least likely for us to do what we've done: beat Ohio State, win the Big Ten championship. And that's what makes it so sweet. And, being a leader on this team and being one of those guys, to bring Michigan back. I mean, it is it's so darn cool, and I'm so grateful to be a part of this.
When did you first realize it was different?
So really, the whole off season, it felt different, energy wise. You know, Coach Harbaugh brought in a lot of young defensive coaches, and really in winter conditioning and spring ball, it felt like a renewed energy in Schembechler Hall that I really hadn't felt in a long time. It really probably I've never felt the kind of energy this off season. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily equate to winning ball games, but you know, it was good in the off season seeing this great leadership and just seeing guys invested in the culture. And as we kind of rolled throughout the season, we kept winning and winning. And I think that was just really a testament to all the work that we put in the off season to, resetting things.
Yeah, so much has been made about Mike McDonald coming from John Harbaugh's staff with the Ravens to get his shot to coordinate a defense and call plays, and how that has made a difference. Can you put a little bit more meat on those bones for everyone?
Oh, yeah. Coach McDonald, the defense is, I feel like that defense is made for me and made for me to just produce. And, you know, he really gives me a lot of freedom in that defense to really just be a ball player and make plays. And I think that's part of the reason why I've been so productive this season is really just his scheme and his defense. And he's really just unleashing the beast.
It seems like it's unleashed another beast on the other side in Ajabo, number 55 in your program, number one in your heart. What's it like to just meet at the quarterback, the two of you, Aiden?
Oh, it's so great. It's really, in game, it's like, if I'm not getting there, then David's probably getting there on the other side. So, we have probably the best pass rushing duo in Michigan history, just statistically wise. And, it's so cool being able to take the field with him, every single week.
Aiden Hutchinson here on the Rich Eisen Show. And has Harbaugh been different in any way, shape, or form? Do you notice a difference in the coach, the HC?
I think any coach that's really winning and winning really big ball games and winning Big Ten championships is going to be happy. Obviously, this is really the happiest I've ever seen him just in my whole career. Even from the start, he was hell bent on getting the right guys in here, getting the right coaches in the program, in order to have the season that we're having. I think he did such a good job in the off season, just finding the right pieces, to put into the puzzle in order for us to have success.
Did he come into your living room back in the day? Did he pay a visit to you and your?
He did.
Okay.
He did pay a visit.
What was that like?
Way back when in 2018, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
2018.
What was that? What was that visit like for you?
It was good. It was. I'm pretty sure that was the only in-home visit I had. Came. We had some food. nothing. He didn't sleep over. Nothing. I didn't have the Quinn Nordine treatment, but we just shared a meal, broke bread, and that's pretty much it.
Were you thinking of going anywhere else? Because obviously your dad's a legacy there, and you talk about legacy. You have now passed him on the all-time sacks list. So,
right,
was there a possibility?
Yeah, not really. Michigan was always number one for me. My parents went there. My sisters both graduated from there, and I visited some other schools. Unfortunately, I visited Ohio State and Michigan State, and it hurt my soul a little bit to do that. I can say that now in hindsight.
It felt off, right? It felt wrong. It felt wrong. It felt wrong.
It felt wrong. And the funny thing is, when I visited Michigan State, I came back and I got so sick. I lost like 20 pounds in the summer because of that visit. And, that just goes to show that, Michigan State is just poison for the soul.
You just, Aiden, it's your body rejecting that.
That's right.
It's what it was.
That's
your,
right.
Your body rejected it. You didn't reject the school. Your body rejected the concept right. and the notion. You know what I'm saying? It's just.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what. It's just particularly pleasing to me that that moment serves as a character building moment for the team.
That's right.
Eventually,
that's
like
right.
what did you take from that lone loss on the season, Aiden?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, just looking back at it, I think if we hadn't lost that game, I don't know if I'd be here today, a Big Ten champion, just because having a loss like that where we were up 30-14, we should have won the game, but we lost wow. that game ourselves.
But Aiden, hold on a second.
And,
you also had a touchdown taken away. I mean, you forced us.
Right.
I mean, please, that was ridiculous that the Big Ten refs say, you know what?
The whole game.
That was ridiculous. That was.
Yeah, the whole game was just, I mean, it seems like we couldn't get a call. I mean, and then we just had a series of events that was just so unfortunate, and we ended up taking a loss, just very, very tough loss, and something that I think motivated our guys so much. And we realized that, you know, if we lose another game, we don't have a chance. We're going to be out of the playoffs. We're going to be out of the Big Ten championship. Like, I think that was a eye opener and a kind of a reality check for our team. And I think it's something that really pushed us to take that next level.
Aiden Hutchinson, Heisman Trophy finalist from the University of Michigan, here on the Rich Eisen Show. So Coach Harbaugh mentioned after the Big Ten championship game, it was your idea to honor the Oxford High School and Oxford High School community with patch and Tate Muir wearing number 42 and put that on the uniforms. Is that the case, Aiden? Did you help?
Yeah. I was, I saw it on social media, and it was something that I was talking to my mom about a bit, and she kind of proposed that idea to me, something that we can commemorate him and those that lost their lives in that shooting. And I thought that was a great idea, so I called Coach, and he was on board from the jump, and he had that patch made in the next 20 minutes.
Huh.
So, he was all on board, and I thought it was just insane that we scored 42 points, and literally it gave me goosebumps when someone told me that in the fourth quarter.
So that you're standing on the sideline and somebody points to the scoreboard and say, hey, that matches the number of the patch that you came up with the idea of putting on the uniform.
Yeah, it was insane. I got goosebumps, and you know, the hair comes up on the arms a little bit, and I mean, that's God working in a mysterious way, or whatever you think. I mean, that is cannot be coincidental.
42 also the number that you put up in the week before it as well. So this team right now, when you do get back together, what do you think here? I mean, how are you going to get together and say, let's finish this thing off? We got house money. Sure, we wanted to beat Ohio State and be Big Ten champions. You've achieved that, but that's Georgia going to be right there in front of you. And then maybe either Alabama or Cincinnati, if so lucky. What are you talking about the whole enchilada here, Aiden Hutchinson?
Yeah, you know, we all know Georgia's a good ball club. You know, their defense is obviously one of the best in the country, but you know, Alabama exposed some of the chinks in the armor, so that'll be interesting, you know, with the offense game plans. But I mean, we're all in. Everybody is all in on this team. You know, we beat Ohio State, and yes, we won a Big Ten championship, but I don't think this group of guys, you know, we're not done playing with each other yet, because this team is just so much fun to play with the guys and the chemistry. And, you know, if we go out there and execute defensively and do our thing, I mean, I think, you know, we got a great chance of winning that game.
And let's just talk about you a little bit personally here, Aiden. When you set the single season Michigan sack record with a sack in the Big Ten championship game, what was that like when you saw your dad after having that now on your resume?
Actually, I broke his record in the Ohio State game.
Right, but the single his record. Yeah. I'm talking about. There's nobody above you now on that list.
Oh yeah,
nobody.
Yeah, it's crazy though. You know, all jokes aside, I mean, it's something that I was dreaming of, you know, coming into this season. I knew I had a chance, especially, you know, with the new defense and my role, I knew, you know, opportunity for me to make a lot of plays. And, you know, seeing him after that Ohio State game, and, you know, he made a little joke to me, you know, about me beating the record. It was just so cool. And it must be so weird for him to he was at Michigan when he broke the record. Then he had me, grew up, and now he's watching me break his record. So, you know, that must be just so weird for him.
I'll tell you what, man. It's just amazing to watch you play. It really is. And in terms of, you know, I'm going to get emotional here if you don't mind. You know, I went to school there, 86 to 90, and your dad was there when I was there. And, you know, it makes me feel old, right, to see you wearing your dad's number and playing a game. I'm like, oh, my God, that's Chris Hutchinson's kid. But the way you play also makes me feel young again. It's the fact. It's the truth. And that's what alums feel about college sports. When somebody does what you're doing with your teammates, what you're doing, it makes me feel like I'm back in college again. And I never thought I would really have that feeling as a father of three in what I do. And it is a beautiful thing. And the way that you and the rest of your teammates talk about each other and go about your business. And I know I might be losing listeners and viewers in certain parts of the state of Michigan right now, but in Ohio, but hopefully they'll be tuning back in. It's a beautiful thing, and I cannot thank you enough. I cannot thank you enough.
Oh, my God, that's so cool. I mean, that's so awesome that you say that. That's, you know, I mean, it must be just crazy for you to even be, you know, seeing the kind of revival, too.
It's insane.
Of Michigan.
It's
so
great, because Jim was my first quarterback on a freshman year. He was my guy. My first game that I ever watched was a Fiesta Bowl, and Harbaugh and Michigan lost to Nebraska. And then here I am watching you do what you're doing right now with Cade McNamara, who, I got to be honest, he looks a lot like Jim playing the position. And and then Hassan Haskins reviving a running game, and then the rest of the team playing so well and so terrifically. And I'm gonna get all emotional seeing you in New York. I mean, what if I had told you this last one for you here, Aiden? What if I told you the day that you broke your ankle against Indiana last year, hey, come back, you'll beat Ohio State, you'll win the Big Ten, and you're going to be a Heisman finalist and play yourself into maybe being the first overall pick of the NFL draft? You would have said what to me?
Oh, my God. I would have said, are you kidding me? Oh, my God. I mean, I just got a little goosebumps hearing that, just because, you know, I mean, I went in blind, you know, this year. You know, you don't know the outcome of anything. And, you know, if you told me that my junior year, I mean, I would just be elated and just so happy and so grateful, really. And, man, it's just, this whole season has been so darn cool. And you know, hopefully, you know, we got more to come.
Okay. So you got four, is this a four suit trip, or you're any, you know, was that what you got?
Yeah, it's a lot of suits. I brought one here. I get a, they made a tux for me at the other one, and then I got a little special one for the Heisman.
Ah,
so
what do you got? You got anything that I can give me
preview? You'll see. Okay. I got a couple of special things in it too, so, you know.
Okay.
Just tune in.
Oh, you're the perfect person. You're the perfect person to ask this. Aiden, what did you think of Kenny Pickett's fake slide and run? Since you would be one of those people that might get flagged for 15 if you hit him while he's sliding, and he just showed everybody that he might not slide if he's trying to slide. What'd you think about that, Aiden?
Yeah, you know, it was cool. It was flashy, but, you know, there are some things in the game that just do not make sense. Can I tell you something, Rich?
Please.
What doesn't make sense?
Okay.
How a tight end who's flexed out can go and blindside block me and chip me, and it's not a penalty. It's not a blindside block or a chip, because it's just, and then you have to fake slide. We're told to back up when the quarterback's about to slide, and then he fakes it and then runs for a 60-yard touchdown. I mean, I don't know, Rich. You tell me.
Well, the thing is that I don't know how you would prevent it, right? Like what? Like if somebody begins to fake slide, that the play's dead right there the minute that you give yourself up. But what happens if, like, say McCarthy, who is really talented at the position as well, you know, with all due respect to Cade, you know, he stumbles and some Big Ten ref says you were going to fake slide, and then you're like, what the hell, you know what I mean? Like, that's
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
That's,
I mean,
I'm always talking about the unintended consequence, trust me, with the NFL and right. all this sort of stuff. But that's where I don't know. But I would be like, again, if I'm Mel Tucker, Michigan State's next one played Kenny Pickett, I'm telling everybody, don't use your helmet, but go for him. I'll deal with the refs. That's what I would say. That's what I would say.
Yeah, honestly.
You know?
Yeah, but, I mean, that's interesting.
So
yeah,
you get sure. chipped a lot, huh? You're getting chipped?
I mean, you don't know how many times I've gotten put on my ass a couple times just from guys I don't see. And, I mean, they just blindside block me, and then I get destroyed because I'm not even looking at them. And then, but then, it's, you know, just football doesn't make a whole lot of sense right now. Just with a couple calls, I mean, it's a little frustrating, but you know, it's the life of a defensive end.
And then, interestingly enough, Aiden Hutchinson on the opposite side, football makes total sense right now. This is exactly what should be happening. You know what I'm saying?
You're right. You're so right.
All right. So I need you to eat right. I need you to avoid Las Vegas and so much more. Okay. I need you to focus.
Come on. Let the man have fun.
No. There's more to come. Right. And that's what I need.
That's
and
right. More to come.
There's more to come. There's more to come. Right. This is exciting. So thank you for the call and just thank you for everything. And please send that to all of your teammates in the interim. And I hope this is the first of many times we get to chat, Aiden.
I will. Thanks so much, Rich.
Right back at you. That's Aiden Hutchinson right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Chris, you think Aiden knows how much he made Rich's week, his year?
No, absolutely no idea. None.
Guys, I wear it on my sleeve and I'll tell people. I don't care.
None whatsoever.
I don't care.
Number one overall pick?
It's possible.
Yeah, he's
good. Kid from Oregon's pretty damn good too, man.
I would say,
and I don't know what quarterback's going to get pushed and who makes a trade for him because they think they fall in love with him.
I would say no less than top five for Aiden.
Oh, he's going to have a quick night in Vegas.
Yeah, quick night.
Hopefully he'll have a shorter night tonight in Vegas because he's got to stay home, stay in there.
Yeah, stay I mean, you can there. Play a little blackjack. It's not going
to. Nah. It's so funny when he said he's in Vegas for you were like, oh,
I was like, oh,
he's letting it roll.
I was like, oh,
he's letting
Vegas.
It roll. He wins a Big Ten championship. He and his buddies are on some sort of Fandango. No, he's trying to win awards, Chris.
No,
we'll take it. A break. We'll finish up this show, set up the rest of the week in a moment.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Chandler Jones is on tomorrow's edition of the Rich Eisen Show.
Ooh.
You imagine if he was still on the Patriots right now.
You need
you
him?
Know what?
I mean, yes, but like.
You know what you're going to be talking
he
about?
It would cost so much money. We would have never got any of the other free agents. I mean, you know.
You know what we're going to talk about tomorrow is Chandler Jones's Hall of Fame resume. He's got one. You're furrowing your brow right now.
No.
Yes, sir. I'm going to have all the numbers for you tomorrow, and you tell me. Chandler Jones has Hall of Fame type numbers he's putting up.
He doesn't get in until Richard Seymour's in. So,
well, I mean, Richard Seymour should get in before him, of course, but Will Fork will get in. Patriots are going to have more guys coming in.
They should. They're waiting kind of long.
They absolutely will.
The early.
They absolutely will.
We should ask Mrs. Jones what she fed her children. To make them into such monsters.
Well, you want to ask him, is he tight with his brother? I imagine he is, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, two NFL players and the greatest UFC fighter ever.
Two Super Bowl champions and a UFC GOAT.
And a bad man.
Coming out of that house.
So the College Football Coaches of the Year Award, the Eddie Robinson Coach of the Year Award, the finalists have been mentioned have been named. 13 finalists. 13.
What?
Yes, Blake Anderson of Utah State, Dave Aranda of Baylor, Luke Fickle of Cincinnati, Thomas Hammack of Northern Illinois, Billy Napier of Louisiana, now of Florida, Pat Narduzzi of Pittsburgh. Maybe he's the one who's like, hey, tell Kenny to fake slide.
Pat Narduzzi.
Nick Saban made it. Ah, congrats to Nick.
Shocking.
Kalani Sitake, our friend from BYU.
Oh, nice.
Kirby Smart. Run 3MC's coach. UT San Antonio, Jeff Traylor. Mel Tucker of Michigan State. Kyle Whittingham of Utah. Oh. And James Harbaugh of the University of Michigan.
It should be Luke Fickle.
Yeah,
only undefeated team.
I don't know, brother.
Made the Final Four.
I don't know. Jim's done a hell of a job. He has done a hell of a job.
At Michigan.
Yeah. Right, for this year.
This year, yeah.
I went undefeated at Cincinnati.
Man, yeah.
Not a bad season, for sure. You know, it's interesting. I mentioned how Belichick.
13 candidates?
Remember I told you about
Belichick? What are we doing?
And remember I told you that Belichick has won Coach of the Year 3 times? He deserves a 4th?
Uh-oh.
Did you know he did not win it in 2001? The year that Brady comes in and makes all his decisions.
It's a regular season award, right? They were 9-7.
Dude, but
they were 9-7.
Who won?
But Brady did what he did and all of that stuff.
Who won?
Brady and then Bledsoe and Brady, they won the last 6 in a row.
2001, probably Dick Vermeil won.
You're half right. The cagey Dick Geron.
Dick Geron.
Wow.
In retrospect, Dick Geron over Bill Belichick.
Buffalo?
With the Bears. They went 13-3 and then got one and done by the Eagles.
Never guess that.
In retrospect, that's like Dances with Wolves over Goodfellas.
That literally is.
You know? Good movie at the time, but in retrospect, are you kidding me?
It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Right? Wow. Shakespeare in Love over Saving Private Ryan right there. Yes, Dick Geron and is the Gwyneth Paltrow of Coach of the Year candidates, basically what I'm saying. Right?
Pretty good.
See what I'm saying?
That's interesting.
That's the little nugget I leave you with right here today. That'll be an addition of this Rich Eisen show. I want to thank again Aiden Hutchinson, and I want to thank my other guests on this program, Joel Klatt and Justin Herbert of the Los Angeles Chargers.
Herbie.
We'll take you to Brother from Another on Peacock in a moment.